Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us today. We are studying the book of Romans together, a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at the church in Rome, and probably one of Paul's masterpieces of all his writings in the scripture. We are in Romans chapter 1, an incredibly impactful chapter that sets the table for our study. Let's listen as John continues a message titled, The Wrath of God, as he talks about the love of God that expresses itself with the giving of God's only Son, Jesus, to save us from the wrath to come. Here's John Politon.
John is the one who presents Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the Word of Life, the Water of Life, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World. And what does John say in John chapter 3, verse 16? We gloss it. We miss this. For God so loved the world. There it is. And we emphasize love. But what does his love mean? You'll see the depth of his love when you read on. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, look at the next phrase, should not perish. Perish? That's judgment. That's wrath on sin. That's hell. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in the exact same chapter, in my Bible, I have to look across the page. Drop down to the last verse, verse 36. This is John again, the disciple of love. He says, he talks about the wrath of God all through the Gospel of John. But look at verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, stop right there. Belief and obedience are equated. Don't say you love me, Jesus says, if you don't obey me. If you don't have a heart of commitment. Perfectly? No, we live in fallen, depraved flesh. We're not going to do it perfectly, but as we say, it's not perfection, it's direction. It's the direction of your life and heart to want to obey God. If it is, that's an evidence of that salvific fruit, okay? But he says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life. And look, but the wrath of God abides on him. A non-believer, a person who doesn't know Christ, and my heart breaks over people I love who don't, but a non-believer who doesn't know Christ has the ultimate sword of Damocles hanging over his or her head. The sentence has already been passed. This is real. This is reality. This is what we need to talk about. And all the surface conversations and other stuff that we engage in is a bunch of fluff and foolishness. This is life and death stuff. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. I enjoy living life. I enjoy a baseball game or whatever as much as anybody. I'm not saying that. But we need to constantly, and especially in coming to the cross and remembering the Lord's sacrifice on a communion Sunday, we need to be reminded that life is real serious business. And it's going to last forever. Forever. In a glorious heaven or in a very horrible hell. And if we love people, how can we not tell them the truth? And how can we not honestly open our hearts and expose them to that truth? It is not going to go well for people who do not know Christ. And we're going to see this, by the way, this wrath of God. Get real comfortable with it. Romans 1:18 through Romans 3:20. It's sin, sin, judgment, judgment. But as we unpack all of that, we're going to see some motivation for why people do what they do. And why, and I think it's going to give you some real insight. I know it's given me a lot of insight into some of my little advanced reading that I've done on some of those as to why men do what they do. But I want you to see this concept. It isn't just Old Testament. It isn't just Jesus cleansing the temple. It isn't just Paul, so to speak, in Romans. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Colossians 3 says the same thing. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 through 10 says the same thing. It sounds like the poor choice, Paul, to start off the good news of the gospel talking about the wrath of God. But as one man said, you have to diagnose the disease before anybody can rejoice in the cure. They've got to know the disease and the problem. They got to know the diagnosis and then the cure. Okay, Romans 1, which I hope is where you are. It's where I need to be. Verse 18, for this wrath of God, and by the way, the word there is orge, and one of the things you need to see, this wrath is what? Of God. That's a key phrase. It's the wrath of God. Meaning what? It's a divine wrath. You need to dispel what we think of as human anger. It isn't some flippant, I'm irritable, you've done something and wounded my pride and my selfishness, and therefore I snap back in some outburst of fury or anger or retribution or vengeance. No. This is a measured, a deliberate decision to visit a righteous, deserved justice upon an evil, wicked, immoral, God-dishonoring thing, a sin that violates his morality. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Philippians 2, 1 through 3, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, that's everyone, all of us, in times past, and the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind was our manner of life, he says, were by nature children of wrath. There's the word again. Everybody is born into this world under that issue. Okay. For the wrath of God, it's a divine wrath. It's not like human petulance. This is a divinely measured response that is in accord with his perfect love and is in accord with his perfect grace, is in accord with his perfect mercy, and is in accord with his perfect justice, holiness, and righteousness. The wrath of God is revealed. The word there means is continually, ongoing, constantly being revealed. How do you know it's constantly being revealed? Hey, people are born, they live, and they die. Nations rise, nations fall. We are constantly, if you will, under the judgment of God. And we're going to see that more and more and more. Not just talking about American culture. I'm talking about life in general because of the curse, if you will. And there's different aspects of God's wrath, different aspects of his judgment. It's played out in different ways in time, space, dimension, history, and culture. We're going to unpack and see a lot of that to encourage our souls, I hope, and to make us appreciate what we remember when we come to the Lord's table today. But it's the wrath of God, if you will, and you see it played out and constantly being revealed. And I love this quote. God could not be God if he didn't have a righteous wrath against evil. He couldn't be wholly good if he wasn't against the least thing that was evil. That's why Habakkuk says, your eyes are purer than to even be able to look upon iniquity. What about you and me? Ephesians 4:26 is a passage that jumps into my head. I can still remember my father-in-law saying this to me when he taught this passage. He said, John, Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. He says, here's the translation of that for you, John. He says, be angry, the King James says, so as not to sin. And then my dad says, I will be angry so as not to sin. Therefore, I will be angry at nothing but sin. Not people. I will be angry at nothing but sin. And I add a little twist to it. I'll be angry at no one or nothing but my own sin. And that way I'll know that any anger I have is a righteous, if you will, type of anger.
John is talking about righteous anger against sin, particularly our own sin. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue a study in the book of Romans and bring you more of a message today titled, The Wrath of God. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can learn more about John's church. Download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking the Sermon tab. And you can order CD copies of John's teaching, too, by clicking the Contact tab and sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. Now, let's get back to John as he once again explains more of this verse in Romans chapter 1 about God's wrath.
If you've lost a child in infancy at a tender age, and several of you have in such a small church, several of you have. If you know of family members and friends who have, this is a passage of Scripture that should bring such comfort to your soul. Because, again, understanding the wrath of God and how it's meted out lets you understand the love of God. And you need to understand the text. Why? What's it say? For the wrath of God is constantly being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness, that's the attitude. That's not being in a right relationship with God, basically. That's primarily the attitude. These are really synonyms, but they have little shades of difference. And unrighteousness, that's the action that is prompted by that attitude. You're not in a right relationship with God, and therefore you don't act, in all your transactions and so forth are unright as well. But all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress or hold back, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Another way of translating the phrase is this: all men suppress God's truth unrighteously. In other words, your, quote, righteous acts will never save you because all men suppress truth in unrighteousness. They'll never be good enough. You can't be good enough. It's another way of saying you're totally depraved. But here's the reason why this should be encouraging. If you know anybody or yourself who's lost a child in infancy, the ultimate wrath of God is hell. The wrath of God will be meted out on people who have not had the righteousness of Christ credited to their account. And so the wrath of God will be meted out. But how and when and why is that wrath meted out? It's meted out on men and women, mankind, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. A one-year-old child doesn't know right or wrong. A one-year, maybe a two-year, maybe a three, maybe a four-year, I don't know. It's some age. It may be different for children. But the point is this: they can't suppress the truth in unrighteousness because they haven't got the mental cognitive ability to get to a point where they understand the truth to be able to suppress it. I'm not saying they're not born with a sin nature. You can see your infant hold their breath in the crib and dare you, and you can see their sin nature. What I'm saying is the wrath of God will never be meted out on that infant who dies in infancy because, or by the way, I might say, somebody who's mentally deficient, who's born mentally deficient and never has a mental cognitive ability to comprehend these things and therefore cannot suppress God's truth in unrighteousness. They will not have the wrath of God visited upon. There are many other passages of Scripture, but this is one that I would hope brings comfort to so many hearts. I hear people say, well, I don't know if your child went to heaven or hell or not. If they were of the elect, they went to heaven. No! The fact that they died in infancy is evidence of the fact that they were of the elect. They were covered under the blood of Christ. They never suppress God's truth in unrighteousness. Well, I wanted to talk at last about the timing of God's wrath on this. And basically, it's this. I said that his wrath is constantly being revealed. You say, well, wait a minute, I see people who aren't believers, and they profit like crazy all the time. Well, I don't get it. True story, apparently, is told about some godly farmers in the Midwest who went to their local country church one Sunday morning to worship. And as they pulled into the parking lot and were walking into the church, the farmer who owned the 40 acres across the street was plowing in his field. And they went into the church, and of course they had no air conditioning, they just had the windows up, it was summertime, and they could hear his tractor going constantly, he's plowing in the field and the dust is coming through, and on and on and on and on. And they were obviously concerned about the fact that they considered this the Lord's day, and this farmer apparently did not. Well, he had an ulterior motive, because a few days later, that farmer who was running his tractor wrote a letter to the editor of the local newspaper and said, I don't believe what these Christians believe, and I worked and I did this on Sunday and I did that, and I've had the greatest harvest this October that I've ever had. And he sent it off to the editor of the newspaper. And the editor of the newspaper, a very wise man, he read that letter and he published the letter in his newspaper. And after publishing the letter, it just said, editor's note, colon. And then he said this, God does not settle all his accounts in October. What's the point? There is ultimately coming a day of judgment. The gospel is good news because it's an answer to man's biggest problem, what to do about it. How grateful we should be. The incredible wrath of God for my sin, I will never experience because Jesus bore it for me. My God, why hast thou abandoned me? 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Divine judgment being poured out to atone for the sins of the elect. If you think about it, the entire Jewish sacrificial system, Mosaic system, where they kill a lamb, die, is a demonstration of the wrath of God. On the night before he was crucified, the scripture says he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, get this. This is my body, which is given for you. And he was speaking in symbolic terms, talking about the physical death that he was going to die in a few hours. This is my body that I'm given for you. As often as you do this, remember me. Remember the wrath of a holy God that I took so you would live forever in a glorious heaven. Commentator said, how black must have been the stain of my sin that it took nothing less than the shed blood of God himself to wash it away. The night before he was crucified, the Lord, it says, took the cup. He said, this is a cup of a new and an everlasting covenant. It's a new and an everlasting promise that I'm making to each of you. It's a covenant that I'm going to seal in a few hours
with my very own blood. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until I will drink it with you again in my glorious kingdom. That's a promise of you will persevere under the troubles you're going through now, child of God. Because he says, I will drink it with you someday anew in my glorious kingdom. Until then, again, just as with the bread, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And for at least today's time, I hope a special focus that we're remembering that he literally took hell for you and me. Let's remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in a final word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the privilege of going through this ordinance of the church and celebrating and remembering the wrath, the righteous wrath, the holy fury that you endured for all who are your children. Lord, again, as always, if there would be one soul here who has never repented of their sin, cried out to you for forgiveness, acknowledging that you've paid the penalty through Christ on the cross, asking you to come into their life, to forgive their sins, to make them your child, with a heart desire to want to be committed to walking in holiness before you. Father, if there be one soul here who's never done that, or maybe doubts whether they've done that, don't let them leave this building without making that decision and making that decision sure. For the rest of us, Father, we humbly fall on our faces and thank you, thank you, thank you for dying for us. We ask it and thank you for it. In the matchless name of you, in the person of Jesus our Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you, John. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon and a message titled The Wrath of God as we continue our study in the book of Romans. If John's teaching is ministering to you, we invite you to consider supporting this radio ministry with a secure, tax-deductible gift of any amount and help us to keep John's teaching on the air. Just visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and respond to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living with your letter. Here's John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans, looking specifically at Paul's description of the wrath of God. Now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.